Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll learn about the reason why Muslims hate the Jews, why there is always anger towards the Jews, not only from Allah, but from the Muslims, those who believe in Islam, those who submit to Allah. This is a very important doctrine, which is found in the pages of the Quran, as Allah repeated the same idea throughout the chapters of the Quran. That is what we read in Quran chapter 2, verse 65, Quran chapter 5, verse 60, and Quran chapter 7, verse 163 to 166. Many people always ask me, why do Muslims hate the Jews and desire the annihilation of the state of Israel? And the answer, my dear friend, is found in the pages of the Quran. If you love what your God loves, and if you hate what your God hates, that makes you a true believer in whatever your God wants you to do. And that is exactly what is written throughout the pages of the Quran. Quran chapter 1. And verse 5, Muslims pray to Allah, asking Him to guide them to the straight way, as they tell Allah exactly which straight way. It is the way of Islam, as Allah Himself wrote to the Muslim believers in Quran chapter 1. Don't forget now, that is the chapter which Muslims repeat 17 times every day, if they only pray 5 times a day. And that is the first page of the Quran, which Muslims memorize and they repeat all day long without even thinking about what kind of God they're worshiping and what kind of commands He gives them to do. So in Quran chapter 1 verse 5, Muslims pray to Allah and say to Him, guide us to the straight way of those whom we have graced. These are the Muslims. Notice carefully the following sentence, not the ones whom your wrath or your anger is against, which are the Jews, nor the lost ones, which are the Christians. So Muslims know from Quran chapter 1 verse 5 that Allah's wrath and Allah's anger is against the Jews. That's why they hate the Jews, to please their Allah, their God whom they are worshiping. And to know about the hatred of Allah to the Jews, we have to look together today at what is written in these passages which I mentioned earlier. Let's begin by looking at what is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 65. For there we read, and indeed, you know, those of you who transgressed in the Sabbath, that is Saturday, non-Arabic word, from Aramaic Hebrew origin. So we said to them, become despised monkeys. Notice here that Allah is very clear about turning some of the Jews into monkeys. And from the simple reading to these words of Quran chapter 2 and verse 65, you know for sure that the reason Allah turned these Jews to monkeys is because they transgressed the sin against Allah on the Sabbath. They did what they're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. Now, listen carefully to the rest of our study to figure out exactly what kind of God Muslims are talking about and what kind of sin these Jewish people committed. This is not just an idea, but that is reality, as Allah stated in the first word, indeed, which means for sure, for certain, that is exactly what happened. Now, let us go together to what is written in Quran chapter 5, verse 60. For there we read, say, will I inform you of evil than that as punishment from Allah? They whom Allah has cursed and on whom He has poured forth His wrath. Some of them, and that is the Jews, He changed into monkeys and swine. And they who worship the idolatry, those are in an evil place and have gone astray from the right way. Did you notice the language here? Allah's wrath is against these Jews. That's why Allah made them apes and swine. Which reminds me of the teacher in our public schools. When they took us to a trip to the zoo, and there were some monkeys beyond some bars. With certainty, he assured all the students that these monkeys used to be human. These used to be Jews, and Allah cursed them and made them apes. This is the reality of how Muslims see the hatred and the wrath and the anger of God against the Jewish people. Now, so far, we do not know the real story about why Allah's wrath was against these Jews, except that we know that they transgressed on the Sabbath. Now, let me share with you a longer passage, which is what is written in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 163, to learn about the true story behind the hatred of Allah, the wrath and anger of Allah against the Jewish people, and why Muslims from Muhammad days until today carry the same feelings towards the Jewish people. So let us go to Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 163. For there we read, "And ask them about the village, which was present by the sea, when they transgressed on the Sabbath, when their wells," he meant fish, "came to them appearing openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they did not have Sabbath," that is the rest of the week, "they," he meant their wells, "did not come to them. Likewise, we tempted them because they were transgressors." In verse 164, "And when one nation of them said, 'Why preach to people whom Allah will destroy or torment them with severe torment?' they said, 'As an excuse for your Lord, and perhaps they may fear.'" And in verse 165, "So when they forgot what they have been reminded of, we delivered those who had been forbidden from the evil, and we seized those who did unjust with an evil torment because they were transgressors." In verse 166, "So when they revolted against what they forbidden to do, we said to them, 'Become despised monkeys.'" Now, what is the interpretation of this passage or the previous verses according to Muslim scholars? They said that there were some of the children of Israel who live in the village of Elah, and Allah forbids them catching fish on the Sabbath. But every time the Sabbath comes, there was not any wells, they meant fish, in the ocean, but came to them in the water. To the point that people could not see the water from the huge amount of whales who gathered in the shore of their village. But when the Sabbath day is gone, all these whales disappeared and went to the bottom of the sea. And that is the meaning of his saying, "When their whales come to them on the Sabbath." So Satan whispered to these Jewish people to catch the fish on the Sabbath. So they catch fish. They salted them, they ate them, and they bought and sold them. That's why Allah cursed and changed these Jewish people to become monkeys and swine. And we must say here, God forbid to do such thing that is tempting his people, his chosen people, or anybody else with such evil act. But then the Muslim people will say, No, nothing wrong with that. After all, those Jewish people were transgressors. They sinned against Allah. Then we ask the Muslim people the question, what was their sin? Well, they disobeyed Allah by working on the Sabbath. They catch the fish on the Sabbath. And we must ask the Muslim people who do not see and realize the wickedness of their Allah, who is nothing but Satan, why they did not work in the rest of the week and why they did not rest on the Sabbath. And these Muslims will answer by saying, well, because they were transgressors. No, you got it wrong, sisters and brothers. You got it wrong. The reason they work on the Sabbath because they could not work on the rest of the week. And the reason they could not work in the rest of the week because there was no fish in the water. And only Allah allows the fish to come to the water on the Sabbath. So they have to survive. They have to work hard on that one day. And to catch the fish, they needed to eat and to sell to continue with their life. You see, the transgressions was not from the Jewish people because they disobeyed God. The transgressions of the Jewish people because Allah himself transgressed against them by tempting them with evil. And that does not fit with the teaching of the Bible. And that does not fit with the reality of who God is according to the true biblical teaching, as we'll see it in the rest of our broadcast.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Here is the true God of the Bible, as the Apostle James wrote to us in his letter, that is in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. This is the God of the Bible, and that is what the Holy Spirit led the Apostle James to write to us, which goes in the opposite of the theology or the ideology of Muhammad and Islam. Now, as you know by now, Muhammad liked to twist every fact in the Bible and make it something else, most likely the opposite, in the pages of the Quran. For we know from the book of Exodus chapter 16 that God was blessing his people by feeding them the quails and the manna from heaven, even though they began by grumbling against Moses because they were hungry and they missed the onions and the garlic and the good food which they used to have in Egypt, forgetting that they were slaves when they lived in Egypt. And that is what we read in the book of Exodus chapter 16. In verse 1 we read, and they, these are the children of Israel, journeyed from Elim. Notice the name of the place is called Elim, not Elah, as Muslim scholars claim in their interpretation to these verses of the Quran. So, they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15 days of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Did you realize what we have in the Bible? We have locations. We have time. We have perfect, complete account. Not like that which we read in the Quran, as we have seen. Allah have never told us anything about who are these people and where and when this story ever took place. When they break the Sabbath by catching fish on the Saturday. Now, in verse 2 we read, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. in the wilderness. Why is that? Listen to verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Oh, they're hungry. They needed food, and they missed the food of Egypt. Now let's see how the Lord will react to such complaining of the children of Israel. In verse 4, Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And in verse 5 we'll read, And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now let us look at how God provided for his people. For in verse 13 we'll read, So it was that quails come up at the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And in verse 14 we read, And when the layer of dough lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is that? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Now, in verse 16, we read the saying of Moses, This is the saying which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. Notice now in verse 19, And Moses said, Let no one have any of it till morning. Here is the test. You don't carry any of that food for the following day. So what you collect today is what you're going to eat today. So do you think these wonderful Jewish people obey the command of God through Moses? Let's read together what happened in verse 20. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So now we ask the question, what will the Jewish people do on the Fridays for the Saturdays? Because you know that God does not want them to collect that food on the Sabbath. So what are they going to do? Will they fast all day long on Sabbath because there will not be any food? No. Listen to the miraculous act of God with his people in the wilderness. For in verse 22 we read, And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. In verse 23, Then he, that is Moses, said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath. Rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. And in verse 24 we read, So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Imagine with me, when they disobeyed the command of Moses and they kept some of the food for the following day, it stinked and it had worms. But on the Fridays, they can keep all what they do not eat for the following day, which is the Sabbath, because they gathered twice as much food and none of it went bad. Don't you see that is a living miracle of every day of the Jewish people in these years of traveling in the wilderness? Of course it is. But somehow Muhammad invented the catching of the fish on the Sabbath instead of collecting the manna and the quails on Friday for the Sabbath. Now, what is the punishment for God which he set in his law concerning the people who will break the Sabbath by working in it. Did God say, if you work on the Sabbath or if you catch fish on the Sabbath, I will turn you to pigs and apes? Or is there a different law given by God in the scripture? For in the book of Exodus, chapter 31 and verse 14, we read, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall utterly be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, he means the Sabbath, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Did you notice what God said? The people who will break the Sabbath will be put to death, not changed to some monkeys and pigs. So I do not know where Muhammad come up with his propaganda concerning God turning some Jews into pigs or monkeys, except that Muhammad was full of hatred towards the Jewish people. And let's ask the question, why did Muhammad hate the Jewish people in the Quran, contradicting his early teachings in the Quran, as we have seen in our last broadcast, that the Jews and the Christians and the Sabaeans, who are idol worshippers, are equal to the Muslims, all of them, if they believe in Allah and they do good deeds, there is no fear on them. That is exactly what is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 62. But a few verses later, Allah changed his mind and cursed the Jewish people. Why? Simply because these Jewish people whom Muhammad praised did not accept Muhammad as a prophet. And that is the real reason why the Jewish people, like anybody else in the world, are hated by Muhammad and the Muslims. If you do not submit to Islam, you are an enemy of Islam and you must be eliminated. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.